Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the SDI Limited HY20 Results Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Samantha Cheetham, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our first half results investor conference call for financial year 2020. My name is Samantha Cheetham, the Chief Executive Officer, and with me today is John Slaviero, our Chief Financial Officer and Chief Operating Officer. This is a very pleasing result, with many of our milestones achieved in the half. With increased investment in sales and marketing activities, we are beginning to see strong growth in the product categories and in the regions we are targeting. Gross margins have been particularly pleasing, reflective of a continuing shift towards our higher margin products. We are continuing to make improvements in our manufacturing processes. We are investing in research and development, and we are growing faster than our peers in the global dental industry. Before talking about this result and sharing with you some of the highlights of the last 6 months, I wanted to recap on where we have come from. Having been established in 1972, we have built this business into a successful manufacturing company where today we are exporting to more than 100 countries. Underpinning this success has been our continuing focus on research and development, and through this we have developed new and innovative products that meet the needs of our customers. Let me now turn to the agenda for today's presentation. I will begin with the highlights for the last 6 months, then spend some time talking about the product categories and the key geographies we operate in. I will then turn over to John, who will run through the financials before returning to me to talk about our strategy and outlook for the remainder of the financial year. Let's begin with a review of the highlights for the 6 months to December 19. I'm now on slide 4. This was another record half for SDI, both in terms of sales, up 7.7% to $40 million, and net profit after tax, up 11.9% to $3.5 million. Currency had some impact on sales in the period, but as we will discuss later in the presentation, the local currency performance was very strong. As we have spoken about in recent updates, the mix of product continues to drive strong growth and importantly favourable growth margins. In this last half, we saw two of our key category sales, aesthetics and whitening, up 11.5% and 12.9% respectively, significantly ahead of market rates of growth. Amalgam sales continues the trend we have seen in recent years, with the US market, the largest region for this product sales, the biggest attractor. The favourable product and market mix has driven the improvement in the gross margins and in turn the improvement in the EBITDA. Directors have declared a fully franked dividend for the half year of 1.35 cents per share, representing 12.5% on the previous period and broadly in line with the net profit after tax growth of 11.9%. Let's now turn to the product categories. I am now on slide 6 to talk about the product growth drivers. As mentioned in my opening remarks, aesthetics and whitening sales growth have been the highlight for the period, with local currency growth of 11.5% and 12.9% respectively, reflecting the continuing growth in these core products. These products now represent over 72% of total sales, while amalgam has continued its downward trend as seen in recent years. Turning now to the key geographies. Slide 8 breaks down the sales by business units as disclosed in our accounts, with local currency growth in Australia at 3.2%, Europe at 9.1%, and Brazil at 21%. Sales growth in Europe and Brazil were back on track after coming off a previous low base, with sales of non-amalgam products increasing significantly faster than the decline in amalgam sales, highlighting a lower reliance on amalgam products in these markets. The better way to look at our sales is on the next slide, slide 9. This slide shows the geographical sales and is more meaningful in understanding customer behaviour. The strongest regions in the 6 months to December were South America, Europe and Asia Pacific, with sales up 19.9%, 11.7% and 10.9% respectively in Australian dollar terms. As indicated earlier, the strong sales performance was due to product sales in our two leading product categories, aesthetics and whitening. Further, following investments we have made in building our local manufacturing capability for some products in Brazil, we are beginning to see strong performance in this market. These initiatives have enabled us to compete more effectively in this local market. Finally, the Asia-Pacific result has continued the trend seen in other regions with our leading products gaining traction. In Australian dollars, the North American market was flat, down 5% in local currency for the period. Amalgam sales represent more than a third of sales in this market, were particularly weak in the 6 months to December. In addition to this, whitening sales were also down, which is being addressed with a new marketing campaign. I will now hand over to John to talk through the financials.
Thanks, Sam. I'm now on slide 11, the profit and loss. The key drivers as shown in this report are sales growth of 7.7% with gross margins up 5.3% to an impressive 66.2%. As mentioned by Sam earlier, this was in part driven by favourable currency, but as been mainly driven by sales of our higher margin products in favourable margin regions. Other income expenses relate to unrealised currency losses of $707,000, reversing the trend we saw in the prior period. Operating expenses grew by 12%, 9.7% in local currencies, with most of this growth attributable to increased sales, additional investment in sales, marketing and distribution, continued promotion of SDI's aesthetic product strategy, additional sales staff, and increased investment in research. Excluding these additional investments, the underlying cost growth was 3.5% for the period. Turning to the balance sheet on slide 12, today we have a healthy cash balance of $6.1 million with no debt, adding significant flexibility to be able to pursue further automation initiatives, to continue to invest in research and development, and to increase returns to shareholders. One other area that needs some additional attention is the increase in inventories. This increase is primarily due to the initial stocking of packaging for the rebranding of the whitening products and the new light curing light due to full release to all markets this year. Our expectation is that inventory will return to normal levels in the second half. Turning to cash flow, to the cash flow statement on slide 13. As mentioned, there was an increased investment in inventory with the rebranding of whitening product and the new light curing light launch. We also continued to invest in product development with $1.1 million spent in the period. I will now hand back to Sam to run through the strategy and outlook for the remainder of the financial year.
Thanks, John. As shared with you previously, our four strategic priorities are as follows. 1, rationalise the product portfolio and focus on products that will drive the best returns. 2, focus on key product categories for growth including whitening, glass ionomers and composites. 3, drive amalgam replacement. And 4, increase innovation and speed to market to meet the changing needs of dentists and their team. On progress to date, I wanted to share with you some of the milestones we have achieved. We have made significant progress on our plans to rationalise SKUs and expect to see this drive further operational efficiencies in our manufacturing process. Our focus on the core categories is driving strong growth ahead of our peers. We continue to invest in the development of new products which will be launched this year, and our Brazilian manufacturing investment is beginning to yield returns. On the outlook for the remainder of the financial year, we expect to see the typical seasonal bias favouring the second half of the year, with our two core categories continuing to drive sales growth. Thank you for listening to our presentation. I will now return to the operator to moderate for your questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Doug McPhillamy with Evoca. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. Just a quick question, if I may, on the staff costs, you know, that uplift in the first half, just how you expect that to step into the second half in terms of, I guess, how that cost base looks on an annualised basis. Also, if you wouldn't mind talking through in a little bit more detail the inventory build and expected wind back in the second half.
Yes. In regards to the staff increases in our sales areas, we expect that to continue. That's the new cost base level. Also, part of those sales distribution and distribution costs also relate to the level of sales, which obviously there are some variable costs there. If the salespeople have achieved their targets, there's commissions to be paid. So we see that as a new cost base, and maybe, you know, a couple of hundred thousand difference, but we see that as a new cost base, and including in the R&D, we see that as the new cost base as well. In regards to the inventory, we see the light curing product, that's been released in most markets, and most importantly in the North American market. So we see that, you know, that initial stocking sort of get back to normal levels in the second half, and the rebranding of our product, our whitening products. We've bought all the pre-bought all the packaging that will also feed through in the next 6 months.
Gotcha. And I guess just what stood out to me was that uplift in the whitening product after a few periods of fairly, I guess, stable sales. Just a little bit more detail, if you wouldn't mind, on what's driven that growth.
Oh, sure. There's, you know, just more awareness by the key dentists in various markets. You know, we've got an extremely high-quality product. We are competing in several areas with local manufacturers, and you know, they want the Australian made product. It does work very well for us. We've just got to get the US sales up, and that's our goal for this year.
And I guess the last one from me, Sam and John, was just on the coronavirus impact, if any, just on supply chain and the business.
Yeah, well, we're looking at that on a daily basis. So far, everything seems okay. The key products that we get from China, that's where the overstock is. And we're just, it will affect us in some areas, but nothing significant that we've highlighted at all yet.
In lots of ways, we're sort of falling in our lap that these products, the rebranding, that packaging is from China, which we're well stocked in, and also the light curing devices, and also our mixing machines are made in China. We've got quite a reasonable stock of those. So at this stage, we don't see, I agree with Sam, we don't see anything dramatic happening. We're still looking at it on some minor packaging for our products, but I think we're in a pretty good position.
We feel pretty good, yeah.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Doug.
Your next question comes from Mark Toppy with Select Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Sam and John. I think my question was really around the whitening in the whitening product as well. So just to be clear on that, it's North America that's causing the issue, and could you just elaborate in terms of the marketing, what do you need to do to to drive that product in the US?
So we're launching our new packaging, and it's a whole new uplift in the image there. That's happening at the trade show next week. We have to, you know, there's some other competitors that have really entered the market and become quite aggressive, and we'll have a new product out later this year. But in the meantime, we have some very aggressive marketing campaigns. But in particular, we are the the US sponsor of Miss Universe, the modelling competition. So that's pretty exciting, and it's done very well for us being the sponsor here in Australia. And we're going to we've just started in this last financial year to sponsor Miss Universe.
Okay, so and do you have to do more work with the dentists as well, or is it primarily a marketing issue, do you think?
Look, it's with our distributors. When they get a new product to sell, they just go with the hottest, latest, and I think they'll really like the packaging. They certainly are very keen on the Miss Universe and being involved there. It's a fun thing for the distributors and the dentists to be involved in. So it's a nationwide thing, early days yet, but we're feeling very confident.
And it might be a sample of one. I just noticed with my dentist, they've emailed me a special offer on teeth whitening. I don't know whether they think I specifically need that product or not, but with a 10% discount. But, you know, is that sort of competitive behaviour increasing in Australia?
I think that's pretty normal around everywhere, actually. That's been going on for a while. You've probably just got your email list. Your address.
That could be it. And also just payback on the new machinery. Can you just give us some feeling about the return that is it like a 2-year payback, 3 years? In terms of sort of the benefits it's going to deliver.
Look, it is a difficult one to calculate, but we look for a payback of anywhere between 1 to 2 years. On most of our machinery.
Well, that sounds pretty positive.
Yeah, look, I guess an example on that, we've got a new capsule coming out, a low activation capsule. We've just completed that machine and it cost us close to $1 million. We expect with this new capsule or delivery system in our glass ionomer range will significantly boost the sales of that glass ionomer. Range.
Okay. Yep. And just on amalgam, I kind of thought it sort of had plateaued. So can you just sort of comment on your expectations then on that trend now?
Look,
on that downward trend here.
Some areas have increased, some have gone down. Overall, we've gone down. I think it's continuing to go down. In terms of, certainly no growth, really, it's just the way the market is going, and that seems to be worldwide.
Yeah. I think, Mark, if you turn to one of the charts on the slides where we compare amalgam versus non-amalgam products, you'll find that in some markets, the impact of the decrease is a lot less because they're not so reliant on the amalgam product anymore. And I think, as Sam said, the North American market is still quite reliant, with representing around 35% of the sales. But the European, and I don't know whether that's in the slide. But
I'm just trying to, what should we be thinking about the trend going forward now? Just a steady decline, given what you're saying about the US.
Yeah, continual decline. What percentage is hard to pick because, in the next 6 months we might pick up a tender in the Middle East, which is mainly all amalgam, right? And we have no visibility on those at all. So
you don't get feedback. It's a hard thing to track, I suppose.
It's extremely hard because we're not dealing with the end customer. We're dealing with our distributors. Right.
All right. Okay. Thank you for that.
Thanks.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I will now give you a short moment to register your questions. Your next question comes from Matthew Rosso, with a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. I just wondered if you could provide an update on the R&D grant that you mentioned in the AGM and whether that was due to come through in the second half, and whether that means you'll be increasing your R&D spend from the, about 1.7 mil in the first half.
Yeah, look, that grant has just started. We've just started working on that. That will increase our R&D spend, but we'll get some grant monies back on that. And it'll be depending on the timing of the spend. So it's over 3 years, but it's virtually just started. So it hasn't really picked up all that much momentum as yet.
Okay. So
still trying to get themselves organised.
Yep.
And the product itself will be, we believe, about 3 years.
Yep.
Okay.
Your next question comes from Simon Prowse with Barrington Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sam and John. Amazing effort that half by the looks of things. I just wanted to ask about the December half, June half split this year. I know you said that it looks stable based on previous years, but I was just trying to adjust for the gains and losses on the currency, and when I do that, it looks like the current half was up almost 50% on the PCP, and I just wanted to see, is that a sort of, you know, is that something that we can expect moving forward? Because I was wondering whether things had moved from the second half into the first half that would kind of account for that, because it's quite astonishing, I thought.
Yeah, no, no, nothing as what we see has changed. You know, we still believe our two half splits, about 45-55, somewhere around there, can vary a little bit on that. But the currency does throw it around a bit. And look, that unrealised currency loss, I think, was once again in the last week of December, where the US dollar went over 70 cents, and then a week later, it went back to about 68, 67 cents. So it's quite distorting. But it's something we really, because it's unrealised, it's something we really can't do much about.
I understand. It's just a sort of, it seems like there's been a big step up. And obviously the amalgam drag's been dropping. And then you were mentioning Middle East looking strong in the second half and whitening to pick up and all these positive things. And I was just wondering if there are any negatives that you know, were things in other regions moved forward into the first half that you thought, or evidently not, but that was just what I was trying to get at.
No, I think it's all...
Yeah,
it's,
but...
You never know what each week...
Well, that's right. You know, we don't know what the next 6 months are going to bring, especially with, you know, this virus going around, you know, whether demand drops off, consumer demand. We don't have a feel for that yet.
No, okay, but the split looks similar. Great.
Yeah.
And then just in terms of the new packaging and stuff, are we expecting, or would you expect an inventory write-off in because of the old stuff, or do you move that to other places to sell it and just a little bit of extra logistics costs? Or, you know, the inventory is obviously built up, but would we be expecting any write-off because of the old stock?
Not really. It's sort of taking a while because we don't want to have any significant inventory write-offs. So, no.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yep. Taking time.
We just,
great.
We just want stocks down where possible.
Great. And I just I noticed the APAC was obviously growing nicely. Have you started or thought about sales into China? And is that something that SDI is looking at?
Yes. No, we've got an exclusive distributor there who was going really well. certainly in the first half, they had grown, I think it was even double digits, and we did have a good target for them for the next half. Right now that distributor, all of them are working at home. The dentists are certainly closed. So you can only imagine the longer this takes, the lower the sales will be in that area, but it's not significant to SDI yet.
No, great, and that's obviously just a short-term thing, and by the sounds of things. And then finally, just in terms of your thinking in terms of capital allocation and everything. I noticed, obviously, the cash is relatively stable. We're expecting inventories to fall in the second half. We've just spent $2.9 million on PPE and product development. Where do you... You know, I was kind of interested. Obviously, the dividend went up by over 10%, which is great, but I was just trying to work out what we're doing with the money, and clearly there's going to be a lot of cash flow next half. Are we looking at an increase in the PPE and product development, or is that going to be pretty flat? Or, you know, what are we doing with that sort of money? I was just interested in the payout ratio staying at sort of circa 40% or so.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, we'll certainly be investing in the areas that produce the results.
We have said in the past, in our past presentations, that our normal plant and equipment expenditure is around the $2 million, but we've increased that to $3 million. So just to speed a few things up.
It's three per half?
No, three per year.
So, okay, and then we've spent three in the first half this year.
Oh, sorry, that's just plant equipment, not in.
Oh, right, and then, okay.
Yeah.
And then the 1.1 in product development as well.
Yeah.
Imagine those two costs together in the next few halves, do you think they're going to be around that 2.9 together, or would you imagine they'd be a bit higher, lower?
The plant equipment will be about $3 million all up, and then the intangibles will be around the $2 to $2.5 million.
Okay, lovely. And then that just comes back to that sort of what are we doing with all the cash that's kind of will be building up with the once the inventories go down again? Are you? I was just thinking, is the payout ratio likely to amend at all, or? Or what are you guys thinking in terms of capital return or returns of money?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, as the profit grows, we do certainly want the dividend to grow.
But at a steady pace.
Yes.
The last, we don't want spikes in dividends. You know, we want to be ensured that we...
Yeah, going up slowly and surely, and you don't want to have to drop it again. Completely agree. I thought you were obviously being quite concerned. I'm happy if you've got things to spend it on that have got good ROEs, then great, but otherwise it seemed like we had $6 million that's going to be growing and not really doing anything on the...
Yeah, look, we have invested additional, like we said, into the sales and marketing area, just to further enhance this, this... product strategy.
Yeah, great. No,
to get more momentum in it, and that
will
continue
to.
Yeah, we'll continue to do that. Our sales force all over the world. Everybody wants more sales people, so we're fighting that one every day. So there's plenty of things we can spend on to maybe bring forward better sales growth, and it's just a matter of allocating it and doing it. Responsible and steady way.
Yeah, great. And one final quick one I just thought of was I noticed that obviously Brazil was back on track, you know, growing, and we'd obviously spent a bit on sorting out distribution over there. Do you see, where are we in terms of market share over there? Is there a huge runway there, or is it just, we've jumped back up and now we'll sort of track normal, growth rates? So where do you see us in terms of the runway in South America?
No, there's still a huge amount of opportunity. In terms of market share, it just depends on the product categories. In some we do really well, and others there's a lot of upside. The whitening is the one area we're really focusing on, in the composites. They're, big markets. And the whitening, we've been helped by the manufacturing that we're doing in Brazil. So the import costs are low. So that's absolutely roaring ahead, which is great. And the composites, the tooth-coloured fillings, they are also, the whole team over there is very focused on getting them right. So lots and lots of opportunity there. It's a huge market, 180,000 dentists, I think.
Great. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's all from me, and well done again. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Mike Byrne with Camden Equity. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mike Byrne, please go ahead. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Ms. Cheetham for closing remarks.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to us today. I certainly, you know, very happy with, am very happy with the result, and I can assure you that the team are very, very focused on achieving better results all the time, and they're working very, very hard, all from the start of the product development to the final sales. So it's an exciting time for SDI, and thank you for your time.